Have you ever worn the mask? Yeah. 1 2 1 2.
M to the A to the S to the K. Put the mask on the face just to make it next day.
We have the podcast of OGs in the house tonight. Tonight's guests are Chris Layman, Mr. James CEO, Tash Mosley, Malcolm Darrell, and the other woman at the table, Miss Toria Williams. And tonight's topic is the young lady that got kicked out of school for wearing dreadlocks. I know I should have a more eloquent way of titling this particular podcast, but really, Tash mentioned this. Do we have rules and standards for ourselves in regards to our aesthetic when we have to blend in with this society? Do we have to play the game to be accepted in this society? And by play the game, I mean not be our natural selves or not do things that... How can I say this? Anybody jump in and help me clarify this. So here's the story. 7-year-old girl, Tulsa, Oklahoma, gets kicked out of her charter school for wearing dreadlocks. But the argument is, this is not a race issue because, for one, this is not a predominantly, well, this is a school with various races of students, supposedly. Not certain whether or not it is predominantly Black or of another race. We do know that the school comes under the Langston University charter, so it does have a relationship with an HBCU. But part of the school rule is certain trendy hairstyles, such as afros, dreadlocks, and mohawks, are unacceptable on the campus. Now, the question is this an issue of race when it comes to that particular rule? And if it is an issue of race, how is a parent to respond to this situation?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say for race purposes because when looking at it, you would think, well, the only thing that a non-Black person would rock would be a mohawk.
And even now, we do rock mohawks.
Yeah, we rock.
And we see the whites with dreads.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a woman with some dreads, white woman this morning.
Yeah.
Awkward, but yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, race, it's one of them things. It's a question. I mean,
because the Afro would apply to us and to Jewish people.
Right. Yeah, but the Jewish person probably wouldn't get, they probably get looked at like, oh, and ignored. Oh, not in it probably would be race because I would like to see that. Like,
they probably wouldn't call it Afro neither. Right.
But it's not.
That's just their hair.
Right.
Right. But for us, it's an issue. It's an issue.
My issue is, when do we step up and, as educators, do our job? And that's to educate. This is a 7-year-old second grade student, and you're raising a stink about her hair when that is not my responsibility to raise a stink about her hair. And so the fact that nobody could stand before the cameras and justify why they did what they did, nobody had the balls enough to say, in that school, I'm talking teachers, administrators, nobody had the balls to say, absolutely not. We have a second grade, straight A, 7-year-old student, and we are going to put her out of school because of her hairstyle. Are you kidding me? When we're talking about closing the achievement gaps, when we're talking about African-American kids falling so far behind, she does not have a second of her life to waste over a hairdo. Right. So basically what you're telling her, get your hair right before I'll educate you.
Right.
You have lost every part of your mind, and I could not have been that parent because I would not have said it as calmly as I said it now. It would have been fire up in that bitch all day, every day, even as an administrator, because I would have, who does that?
Right. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Who gives you the right to say to me that my child's hair is not appropriate?
Right.
And if my child's coming in making straight A's, she's an asset to your school, and your job is to make her better than what she already is. And you can't make her better by focusing on her hair, because clearly her hair has not gotten in the way of her making progress.
Right.
And that's the problem, because you have so many administrators and so many folks focusing on the wrong things in school, and you wonder why kids drop out. You wonder why people don't believe in the public education system. You wonder why people don't believe and trust teachers and administrators, because that's bullshit. Start me with some real stuff. You know what I mean? Like, if you would have told me that you've been doing A through Z for this little girl. But the only thing you can say about her is her hair. That's the best thing you can say about my daughter is her hair. That's you recognize?
Toria, I completely agree that it's absurd for them kicking a student out for how her hair naturally grows out of her head. But I want to just play devil's advocate. We've been talking about standards within the community. And so banning certain trendy stuff like a purple streak or like ideas of individuality in a student's presentation isn't beyond the realm of acceptability for me. What's beyond the realm of acceptability is the fact that we would include the way her hair naturally grows out of her hair as something that is a distraction to the instruction. And that just goes to show that the perception of what is acceptable is completely skewed in that community. And in that community, I don't know. I mean, I haven't been to Tulsa. My people apparently are from there. But maybe dreadlocks really are that much of an anomaly.
But they're wasting too much time on policies that have to do with the outer as opposed to policies
that's
on how do I get more students in the field of STEM? How do I get kids to close the achievement gap?
I agree, but when we talk about wishing that black folk had more of the value system and not that
I can't
the hair,
value myself if I'm not educated.
That's right.
And I can't get educated if you're kicking me out.
But the value system that you instill, like, you know what? When you come into an administrative building, you cannot wear flip-flops or shorts. You have to have closed-toed shoes. You have to dress a certain way. Your shirt must be tucked in. Your appearance. And so my only qualm with the idea of them regulating these students' appearance is that they would take the stance at how her hair naturally is. They would rather her have a chemically processed hair. That's my only qualm with this rule. Just like my qualm isn't with people with schools that force kids to wear uniforms.
No. I don't think any of us would disagree with you in regards to that.
I think the only issue is that they're trying
to regulate hair.
No, but a mohawk is a form of individual expression that, guess what? In my classroom.
So how much time are we going to waste on mohawks?
No.
You know what? Bring your mohawks.
How about
this? Bring your books and your pens and your computer ready to learn.
We're not going to waste any time on mohawks because there's a standard here. And there will be no mohawks.
But whose standard are we talking about? And this is
that's exactly. And so
hold on, this is my,
we're talking about Tasha's standard. That's what every standard is.
Okay, but we're talking.
What standard?
This is Brother Malcolm. The challenge I have with this whole thing is that the construct of what the standard is a white construct of like how it's very Eurocentric, and it's saying that if you don't have short hair, gentlemen, there are cultures where long hair, tattooed bodies are a part of the culture. And my thing is, if you're in America, what is the standard when you have this melting pot of all
kinds
of cultures?
And it depends on who you're asking because...
Exactly. And yes. I just want to get back to the point of the child was a straight-A student. Straight-A student.
She's going to stay a straight-A student.
Exactly. But why are you telling her at this young age that, first of all, you're a straight-A student, but I need you to conform? Like, this is a freaking Matrix or something.
But
let the child
this.
Have some individuality,
when you think about,
particularly if what she is doing is not affecting her education or anybody else's education. I want to know what teacher is so damn ADHD that you can't teach based off somebody's hair.
But
only
but
in
just
the urban
like,
communities.
Ari says she is not her hair. So
right.
It's like,
but it's,
you know, I agree, but to Tasha's point, to play devil's advocate, would they have made a stink about it if she had, or would we even make a stink about it if she came to school with a big blonde weave and relaxer in her hair? You know, she's still a straight A student, and you know, and they kicked her out like saying, oh, you know, she had this big long weave that was blonde. They kicked her out. Would we be as upset about that?
I would.
You know,
but let me say this.
I wouldn't. I would be like, get her ass out.
Right.
No, here's a better point.
But I do think we would, because I think it goes back to the same issue that we talked about in this podcast with Gabby Douglas.
Or would we be more mad at the parents?
But I'd be more upset with the parents. But here's the deal. And all of us went to, I'd say, fairly affluent high schools. You could come as you pleased. If I took you over to Beverly Hills High, there's blue hair, there's green eye. green. There's blue hair. There's green hair. There are piercings. There are cut-off shorts. There are mohawks. Nobody is ever going to put one of those kids out of school because of the way they look. Charters are public also.
But we do.
But we only go hard on these rules and conforming and looking a certain way when we're talking about urban education and poor children.
And we have scenario? There's a charter school. They decide to split up the male students and the female students into separate classrooms. They're on the same campus, but they decide to instruct them separately. What if one of the female students came and said, no, I want to be taught with the boys, and started expressing gender identity as and her gender identity being with the boys, or vice versa? It was a boy was like, no, I want to be taught with the girls. Where would you draw the line? And I'm, you know, I'm open liberal. If a 7-year-old is really sure that, like, now I'm a boy and they were born with female reproductive system, I'm open for them expressing and being who they are, but not at a school that has very clear, like, no, we're going to do gender instruction.
Yeah, 7,
and, 9. I just feel as if, I'm not saying this school is perfect. I'm not saying this school is even right, but if this is what for that community, a
so what are the parents to do?
Have,
what are the parents to do? Shave her head? Because you can't shave her, bald
her.
Well,
the parents are supposed to do exactly what they did: put this school on blast, and they did that in a royal way. It's a national story now. I mean, I think the parents handled it really well, and you know, I would have gone in there as a parent and tried to build the case for why the natural hair dreadlock things is a poor use of setting.
That's
the
a waste of time. Build a case why my kids aren't having the same advantages as others. Build a case why there's not technology in the school. Build a case why you're not pushing my kids into science and engineering and mathematics. Build a case why she can't read and he can't read. Stop talking about bullshit that does not matter.
Because see,
as
I think the
teacher,
rule.
If I told a student to tuck in his shirt, and there is no way he is getting in my classroom if his shirt is not tucked in.
But that's
in,
different.
That's different. It's different. Because to me, this rule speaks to still a certain portion of our generation's discomfort with our natural state of being and mainly natural hair. Like when we start talking about us being in high school, there weren't very many people in high school rocking dreadlocks and afros. Natural hair was not a thing in Los Angeles in the 90s. It is just within the last 5 years become something that is really pervasive,
but I remember,
and popular.
And half the NFL league has dreadlocks. So
right.
It's like,
but you still have a certain group of people that believe that natural styles make you look unprofessional.
But
that for some reason you won't be accepted by mainstream media or the mainstream population if you don't assimilate and rock your hair straight.
And this, athletes do that because guess what? They're professionals.
And this goes back to Sean's statement that you teach people how to treat you, because I think back when we were in high school and junior high, when Housen came along, mm-hmm. dreads was popular. Like you shave this and have dreads on top. And they would not have dared to say anything to any of us back then. We knew how to defend and articulate ourselves as young black kids. We had young black scholars. We had the black student. We had the black student union. And if a teacher did say something, oh, they knew there was going to be a repercussion. We didn't even have to bring our parents up there. You knew at lunchtime, 12 little black kids were going to be standing in front of your door.
I don't
but
understand.
But it's really a thing with girls,
I don't understand
though.
How pulling up
to
your
me,
pants,
it's really a thing with girls.
Wearing a belt, and tucking in your shirt is different from saying that your hair needs
because
to look a
certain way. Because if I go to a private school
way.
That requires me to wear a uniform that looks like that, then boom. Who's
no,
not
if
a
you go to a
uniform rule?
If you go to a public school.
Or a public charter school.
That has
a uniform policy.
Yeah, I don't see
but
how
I have
it's
mixed
different.
Feelings about
because hair
anyway.
Is a completely different thing. You can't uniform people's
me,
hair.
It's all appearance.
But you can't uniform people's
you're
hair.
To, you're trying to uniform their or how they express themselves in fashion. So why can't you uniform
because
their hair?
Because everybody's hair doesn't grow
head?
Out their head the same
oh,
way.
No, but you can have a standard. I mean, they
so
uniform
what
people's
be,
hair in the
so
military.
So what's the standard for hair? What's
yeah,
the hair
what,
standard?
In the military, there's a standard for hair.
Okay.
It has to be right.
It has to be
your
yeah.
ear. Right?
For women, it can't be past like the cheek or right there at the neck. Kind of, and for guys, it has to be
short,
more like
short.
A safety
you know, it
issue.
It can't be
yeah.
more than like a quarter or maybe
right.
a half inch long or something like that. And guys would try to
right.
stretch that as
hard as they could.
And officers, they have to put theirs up in a bun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And even non-officers, right. Women, they have to, you know, kind of put it up. Yeah.
And again, we're talking about the military and policing adults, but, not children.
But I guess the thing is, it's for the kids. Because the way the story is, it sounds like now, if he's true that she rocked, she had this hairstyle last year and they didn't say nothing.
Right. That's the other issue. That, if she did it last year exactly. And it was no issue, then exactly. Why is it an right. Issue suddenly?
Because they got too long. And then those braids are getting longer.
Could be a point.
I think she
point.
Was Cassandra Wilson to Layla Hathaway. Freaking
if these guidelines.
Karen Wheeler.
If, and even if she was, she had straight A's.
If I have these guidelines, if I represent this school and I have these guidelines and you're bringing your child to my school and you read these guidelines and you sign them.
Then that's one thing.
Then that's one thing. Like, I don't know, you know, hey, did you already know? These guidelines were here, apparently. And it's like, hey, did you know that the guidelines were there? These is what we put out.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm sorry, but your kid is breaking the rules according to yeah. The guidelines that you saw and you signed off on.
Right.
So it's like, well, maybe you didn't read the guidelines or you didn't know. So I don't know, you know, how long these rules been in effect, you know, before this child... hair became an issue,
right?
You know, before it grew to
and
a length
happens,
to where it was noticeable.
There's an all boy high school that has a policy just like that. Like, you cannot have hair, you cannot have dreads, and they run a whole corporate program. But parents are told this from day one,
right?
The boys are told this from day one. You want to attend here, you got to go clean cut, shaving up, because that's our look.
And I don't think anybody's got an issue with that,
right? And they haven't, because at the end of the day, they produce 99% college graduates, high school graduates. The boys go to school 4 days a week. They're working in corporate America 1 day a week. And for real, corporate America. So parents are like, it's worth it. You
know, I definitely think again, the school went about this the wrong way.
They yeah. did. But I think this speaks to the fact that for our culture specifically, there is a set of rules that we have to live by in order to be accepted by the masses. Right. You can't truly express yourself through hair or fashion or whatever the case may be if there is actual standards for what the clean cut, straight up corporate look is supposed to be. Like if cousin Carmen was here, or what am I saying? Carmen, Camille. Remember, it was a few years ago, we were at a wedding, and Camille, you know, I'll have nails with a whole bunch going on. And Camille was at that time working at a private law firm. And I remember her complimenting my nails, but saying she could never wear her nails like that. And I said, well, why not? She said, they absolutely will not allow. She's like, if I do red, that's, I'm going out. That's me being bold if I have on red nail polish, because they keep it, you know, black, blue, gray suits. French tip or new taupe color, and that's the end of it. And I'm like, why is there such stringent rules on? I mean, I guess that's maybe why I have to go the entrepreneurial route. That kind of stuff drives me bananas.
But that's corporate America. And I think the thing that frustrates
exactly.
me more than anything about this is that I just feel like when you become an adult, you make decisions about what kind of life you want to live. And what scares me about these rules that are being placed on these children, and you know, I'm just not going to bring my kids to these kind of schools.
Absolutely.
Because I look at white kids and I'm pretty much, I'm sure the majority of white kids that are in these kind of situations, that there's not this threat of like, oh, Timmy's growing his hair out long, he's got a mohawk,
no.
Or she's put, you know, I'm sure their issue might be the dye, the color of the hair, maybe. But it just seems like when it comes to black people, this feels like there's this threatening.
And we'll conform.
Like black women wearing braids, you know, and my thing is,
and we'll go into a field that...
Listen, I want to be judged by the content of my character, not the color of my skin, not the texture of my hair.
Hey, good luck with
nor
that.
Of the, well, you know, obviously.
I'm with you, but good luck.
I can't even...
No, but what I will say, like, when you speak about those children, their parents will make a stink if you call their kid out. But those kids are also being taught to pave the way, and that they will enter into careers that they create for themselves and entrepreneurship, like you said. So I think we conform because we're a little more scared. Like, well, I do want you to be able to get a job.
Right.
Also, not I want you to create your own careers and create your own, which is my problem with the damn school.
Which is
also,
what is our mindset?
If we get a job.
Are we conform to the fact that
you go to school, you graduate, you get a job.
Exactly.
That's
but
success.
That's what an education is in some ways. It's indoctrination. And I know you guys are saying that it doesn't matter
The difference
should be about gaining knowledge.
Yeah, it should be about gaining knowledge, but who sets the curriculum and what the knowledge is indoctrination. So the standards of English language as set by which culture is indoctrination, or the history you learn if you grow up in Texas and, oh yeah, we could have been our own country if we wanted to, is indoctrination. And so I think the military is a very fair comparison, to be honest. And the military is actually better about educating for their particular skill set that they are offering their participants than our public school system is. And I'm being a total devil's advocate because I do want a certain amount of creative freedom and expression that allows my child to learn the curriculum and inspires them creatively, and I don't think having such a stark appearance, whatever rules, regulations, criteria is necessarily beneficial to that or helpful. But since we've been talking about setting values and setting standards for our kids so that they know, I think it's a good idea to set standards on appearances about the shoes you wear and how you address an adult and how you handle official business and how you your appearance. And I just take issue with the fact that the natural state of her hair
is
a problem. Yeah. And I think to me, that is a teachable moment for the school and whoever set that regulation.
Yeah. And then is it age appropriate? Because, at Hampton, where Tori and I went to, and I was in the business school at the time, where they made the rule that a lot of people know now that they don't allow dreadlocks or that kind of hair. They don't allow the business students to rock that if they want to go out on interviews.
If you're going to Hampton's business school, then you... No, I'm just kidding.
No, but I mean that was, and I didn't have rock my hair like that.
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to a B school, is this a graduate program?
No, this is the undergrad program.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was like, and yeah, when I think they did it my senior year there, and it was like, it was a lot of a pushback. A lot of students were like, "What?" And basically the guys were like, "What the hell?" There was, it wasn't like a gang of, it was enough of, brothers rocking the braids or the cornrows or the.
I mean, maybe.
Like, damn, listen, like, really? I can't. So you think just because of my hair, I can't do this job? I know what this.
It
I know
could
what
be that they had
from.
A number or two recruiters come and commented on the appearance of the B students, the undergraduate B students. I mean, I don't know why they came up with it. And I mean, I know that like
same
in Morehouse's business department, those brothers owned 10 ties and 3 suits. And I mean, and they wore them on a regular. And there were times, even as a freshman, for Crown Forum, there's a class that you have to wear a shirt, a button-down shirt, and a tie for, no matter what, and slacks. And you don't get to enter and swipe your ID card for credit if you don't have on the uniform. And I think it's okay. I mean, of course, they didn't stretch those regulations to include hair, but I don't have a problem with schools setting standards. I just think this standard that they have.
Yeah, and I don't think any of us disagree with you in regards to that. I think the problem with this particular situation is that this school set a standard on hairstyles that, and it wasn't even so much the style, but the state of the hair. To me, that just speaks to a greater issue of not having a respect and an acknowledgement for that child's natural state of her hair. In spite of, because when I first heard the story, I figured she must be at an all-white school and must be coming through with, locks down to her feet with cowrie shells and all of the kind of beads and shit tied in. And I was like, they can't handle it. It's too much for them.
There's too much synagogue
right, going
on up in here.
And when I saw her, she got the little baby locks. I'm like, oh, come on. How is that even an issue? How is that even a distraction? She didn't have enough hair for it to be a distraction.
It's not a distraction for me. It's not a distraction for any of us who've grown up in Southern California, who've been exposed.
But for people in Tulsa.
I don't mean
poor,
to.
Poor, slow, little, unexposed Tulsa.
No, I don't mean to assume that that's how they are, but I don't know the community, and I don't know why they set that particular standard. This is a teachable lesson for them, so, and I think that teachable moment, and instead of railing on them for having appearance standards, which include hair, I think we should support them in having hair standards, but explain to them why this particular hair standard is wholeheartedly racist.
Now, you've heard, this is not the first time this come up. I've heard some other girl got sent back home because she had like Afro puffs, and you were like, and it had it that same rule, and it was like, really? Fucking Afro puffs? Are you serious? And this is like a little school.
I was just gonna say that's gang affiliated. I'm sorry, brother. They shooting.
I don't know if she's rocking with her bad self.
Mm-hmm. But it's all
but it's
about
a little
people's
girl too. Yeah, I'm for like, real. Why is it?
It's all about people's perceptions of us when they see us with those kinds of hairstyles. Black people always have to be aware of that fear factor. For some reason, our appearance intimidates other people. Sometimes just standing there.
Just standing there. It don't matter what your hair look like.
Right.
You can wear a nice little goofy hat and just clean cut and be like, oh my gosh.
You scared the shit out of people.
May pull out a shotgun.
This black principal wasn't scared of this little girl.
No.
Right, okay. But I was scared of her little wig she was wearing. I tell you that.
Let's just put it out there. So then if we set standards, then you need to set some too.
Right. Get your
wigs
hair
aren't
together.
Accepted.
What I will say, I think what we can take or try to, you know, use from this is as parents and teachers, you know, it's a thin line between raising our kids to be unique and show a sense of individuality, but also not going so far to the left that you become blacklisted in society.
Literally.
Or you become active parents that are sitting on the board and that are in those parent advisory meetings. And when they're putting those policy together, you make your voices heard at the very beginning.
Exactly. Right. Yes. Yes. I mean, don't take this and be like, oh, I want my kid to be straight black power fists. Afro, you know, leathered out from here on out. You know, it's like, because damn your rules. Like, let's not do that to our kids. Seriously, let's not do that to our kids because you don't want to put your kids through that.
And we have to keep in mind we're raising them in this country.
Your new name is Booker.
I don't like Booker. Booker.
And Nat.
Because they're in this country, they have to follow the rules that are required supposedly to attain success in this country. Although we all know truly exceptional people don't live by any of those rules.
Right.
They're able to surpass and break those rules almost each and every time. Once you're able to do something that ends up providing something for the masses, they don't really care what you look like.
If I'm getting paid off your craziness or your individuality, so by all means, wild out. Be black as black can be.
The Marcus Garvey School. Checks. Right? The Marcus Garvey School. Everybody probably rocking dreads.
I didn't mean that, but yes.
No, I agree with you, Michelle. It is that line because you're like, at what point do you want your kid to be an individual? I mean, you're taking damn near everything that would bring
me in
out
a uniform.
Yeah, everything that would bring out individuality in a school, you're damn near taking away. You just all it's going to be is just, can you read? Can you write? Can you do math? Okay,
yeah,
that's it.
Because they artistically won't be able to express themselves. You know, musically, they won't.
We don't like art.
Right.
You took that out of the school.
I'm going to teach my son to walk like a pimp. That's gonna all of it. I'm like, you can be just as conformed as you want, but walk like a pimp. They can't take that from me. If they ask, tell them you got a leg thing going on. It's medically clear. Pimp.
Well, I want to give a shout out to.
Away from you.
I want to give a shout out to Dr. Yaba Blay, who put together, along with over 100 Black women, a care package for Tiana. That's the name of the young lady. Locks of Love, and they put together this lovely photographic book. And they sent it to her with pictures of Black women who are in every facet of business, doctors, lawyers, teachers, and they all are dreadlocked and wearing natural
That's what's
hair.
Up.
And they
should have bought one for the principal too.
Where's the Wigs of Love book for the principal?
Exactly. See, I couldn't have been that parent. That helper would hate me till my kid graduated from college because I would remind that ass.
Can you imagine if her mama was Mrs. CEO with her dress?
Yes, yes, yes.
Tulsa would have been in flames. The whole thing.
I would have burnt it up with her. I'd have burnt it up with her.
So, yeah, Tiana, we all love you. And I think for me, the lesson out of this is that we need to empower our children because there are rules and regulations set up to marginalize them. And I think we need to acknowledge that. As much as there's a need, I guess, in some ways to conform to some things, to conform to a standard, there are definitely rules set to push our kids out just by nature of who they are. And so we have to continue to support them and make sure that they are nurtured and have high self-esteem and are okay with who they are so that when they do come in, when they come into contact with situations like this, they aren't broken because of it. You know what I'm saying? I want my child to be able to run into a situation like this, be like, oh, y'all are tripping, and be able to move on to the next place and not even be fazed that somebody thought one way or the next about who he is.
The one thing I will say that I was kind of proud of was that her father was involved. That was that for me was like, that was awesome. Like,
yes.
Her father was like, no.
Yeah.
No, this is not right. I'm defending my daughter. So that was just amazing for black men right there.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and he spoke was to like, I keep them presentable. Don't like, don't be like, I said,
right. He spoke to that.
Yeah,
right.
I respect presentability. Right.
Yeah. So with that, we thank you so much for joining us. Please be sure to tune in.
And
to
it
the
was
next.
Sheryl Underwood's fault in the first damn place.
Oh, wait, 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 wait. We came in before we talk about Sheryl Underwood and her comments on
because
the
because she spoke, people like her, who made the comment about the black hair when Heidi Klum decided to cut her kid's hair and keep it, Sheryl made that statement about, oh, you know, why would we want nappy hair and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, why would you keep that?
Why would you keep that? And then she came back with this apology and said, you know, sometimes you say the wrong things and you know better.
You should.
She knows better. She's gotten the black experience. She's already talked about people treating her differently because she doesn't meet the quote unquote standard of being a beautiful black woman. Okay. So you already know you're sorry because somebody called you on the carpet. Mm-hmm. These sisters that have the natural curly organization or something like that hit her on it. And so she's like,
Curly Nikki.
Yeah, Curly Nikki. I appreciate that. No, sister girl, you're in a sorority. You're the president of the sorority. You talked about your experiences as being black. Get it together. And you're going to say that by sitting at the table
with a bunch of women of other races. That was what was uncomfortable, to see her make the comment about, well, how would you want to keep nappy? You know, nobody's going into the hair shop.
So you're trying to be so funny, you're willing to sell your soul to be so damn funny and accept
it
by these people.
Yeah, on whatever that show was called.
The Talk.
The Talk.
Yeah.
The Talk. And when another woman made the argument that she kept her child's hair, and she's a mixed race woman, she goes, oh, but your hair's probably long and stringy and pretty and curly.
And she went on and did her apology.
But anybody who watches that show knows that Sheryl Underwood is ignorant and has a lot of double consciousness. So, I mean, like, honestly, we can't, like, she's really not at peace with her blackness.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that don't watch that show. Like, that take what she said, like, wow. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know nothing really about this woman that much. So, I heard what she said, and I'm like,
right
whoa.
Now. If you don't watch, what's the name of the show? The Talk.
What's the name of the show?
Let me let you know now that Sheryl Underwood, and Sheryl, if I meet you and we become friends, God bless my soul, I love you because you are a child of God, yes. But we all know that
all the way back around.
You have some double consciousness and are not completely at peace with who you as a black person.
No, that statement comes from somebody who's not happy or comfortable with their blackness.
Yes.
That totally.
Right. So
she was janky.
And I know all the HBCU grads here are going to hate me for saying this, but I actually have a problem with the HBCUs kind of supporting this idea of us having to conform. I don't like it. I don't like Hampton's business school rule. I don't like the fact that this charter is attached to Langston University. I don't like the fact that it perpetuates this idea that we cannot be individual.
But I will say this.
I don't like this at all. Morehouse Spelman, I don't like any of that.
But see, I think, too, it's...
I mean, really kind of articulate. No, no, no. What exactly don't you articulate?
I don't think that's the full message across. Like, because here's the thing. I went to Hampton thinking I was going to get, like, that experience. The black girl, throw your fist up experience. It was that and everything else. And I think that's what makes the HBCU so unique, that you need to see those parts of black America, because conforming is a part of who we are as black people, right? It's not who we are at this table, but there are some folks, and that's not necessarily the overall HBCU message. I would have a problem saying that that's what HBCUs promote, because if you go on campus, you're going to see every aspect of black that there is. You know, I was like, whoa, this ain't got nothing on
it. And when you think about some of the
rules,
but
they're pushing these rules. If you're going to business school at UCLA, if you're going to business school at USC, they're not giving you those rules.
And there are very few of us going to those UCLA business schools.
I would like to acknowledge that, Kim, there at HBCUs, the professors and the administration to go a little extra mile to make sure that the students know what the standard is. Now, the fact that they don't force you to conform to it. At Morehouse, there was a brother who used to walk around in a kilt. And then years later, I heard there was a brother who walked around in high heel shoes. Whoa. And so, you know, there is a certain modicum of a freedom that people have to express. But yeah, they do go the extra mile to make sure, like, that you know the proper place setting, or at least Morehouse does, so the proper place setting on a table, and that you know which fork to start with. And
we didn't get that.
And that's just part of the development of, like, oh, we want you to be able to code switch and to speak both languages. And just in case someone didn't get it growing up, in case someone wasn't from one of these layman families. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I wasn't in Jack and Jill, bro.
To me, that starts a whole nother conversation, because doesn't that lend itself to this whole idea of separation between, like, there's an us and there's a them. We are the educated, affluent, greater than,
when it comes
better
to
than
the college.
But I think there's definitely an argument for
but
that.
But I think
there are people on campus who don't like the rules. I mean, just because we all there, and you know,
and there are people that spoke out against
other crap. There are a lot of us who are like, I don't like this shit.
That's what I was going to say. That's what's missing today. Our children don't have that, where they would speak up. I didn't know you guys in high school, but I already know that we were the riders in high school, right? Tash, I knew you in high school.
I'm trying to play me.
Yeah, Tash used to follow me around. But no, we were more conscious. Mm-hmm. We were more articulate. And even at Hampton, there were just some rules that we were going to speak out against. You might have threw them at us, but there was going to be a group that challenged it. Mm-hmm. And even if the rules didn't change, we knew our voices were heard. We were letting you know what you're doing is not right. We may roll with it,
but don't like it.
We don't like it. And just know, like, you're going to have to get some cooperation from us, and you're going to have to think twice before you start shoving things down our throat. That's why I get sad when I think about our students today who don't know their voice and who will not speak up and say. We all get happy in the classroom when you have that one little kid that challenges you. You're
right.
Like, yes. One out of 150, though. You know, and he looks like the bad kid because he doesn't look like the other 149 that will speak up and say, oh, I don't like this. Oh, I'm not doing that. Well, why can't I? Mm-hmm. You know those kids. And that's what's missing, because it goes back to just what Sean said. Mm-hmm. You teach them how to treat you.
Yeah.
Right? And it was even passed down to us. As kids, like, you teach people how to treat you. So I knew teachers, I'm going to respect you, but there are just some things you cannot say to me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the black schools, you get, like I said, with the code switching, you get taught to wear the mask. You get taught that you have to. In order to be successful in certain areas, you are going to have to. These are the things you need to do in order to get through the door. Now, they're not saying that you got to basically
be the
bougie motherfucker all the time, but it's just basically like, in order for you to get in these spots, you're going to have to play this, you're going to have to do this dance.
You got to soft shoe a little bit to get in.
And I think you black might have men to soft even more
I'm
so.
Saying just, exactly.
And I think black men more
you know,
so.
As black men, you can't just come out as the black man. Here I am. Give me this job and this career.
It's that fear factor.
Exactly. Right. So the institutions, these colleges, are just trying to prepare you in a sense for that. Now, some of the rules may be a little bit much, like maybe the hairs,
like
or whatever.
Curfew.
There's certain things.
We
like,
shouldn't
okay,
have curfew in college.
But they have to give you these rules, or sometimes they have to give you these levels of rules, because if they don't give them to you, then you're going to just take it above that. You're going to go above that rule. Well, you didn't tell me I couldn't do it, so I'm going to go way out. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But
so it's like, we got to give you that structure. And exactly. So that once you get out of here and you are that individual, now you know a little bit of how the game may be played. So you can, like you said, you can put on that face, that mask, and be like, let me just slide on in here. And once I get into that spot, you know, and I'm solidified, maybe I can kind of like show who I really am, you know, and just give them a little bit at a time. And, you know what I'm saying? And before you know it, I'm the head of something, and now I'm here now.
And the thing, too, with the HBCU, they were taking time to raise you, which we hated the curfew, but they were really taking time to raise you. So your parents were comfortable knowing from 18 to 21, Ms. Jacobs, my RAO woman, my mom knew her. She, don't worry, you know. I don't think that happens in other universities. We're going to take time, because when
no,
they say
that's
to you,
true. The support system situation community. Is
right.
Really different.
Yeah,
no. When there were systems on campus that you would have to seek out, but it was not a situation like a black college where you had a more
babysitting
sort of situation.
When they say you're a Hamptonian, that doesn't mean you just put on your Hampton gear at the football games. It meant you are a part of the Hampton family, and it's more than tailgating.
She made a good point that a lot of black parents, if they weren't sure if their kid was ready to be away or if they were going to spend
their
money,
you feel safer sending the child to, because it's like
it's
a family vibe. I completely
strict.
Get that. I just still feel we end up being complicit in our own. We keep ourselves from progressing when we start saying we have to abide by these rules. We have to soft shoe. And not only do we have to do it, but we have to teach every generation. There's no way to get out of this. This is the only way you can succeed.
I got to say,
that's a problem that's a problem with just us dealing. I was like, I'm about to do that with Eli. At some point, we all know as black people that we're going to have to teach our children some stuff that white folk don't have to teach theirs.
True.
And it's not like, well, I wish I don't want to have to teach you this shit, but I can't. If I don't teach you it, I'm the fucked up parent because I didn't prepare you for.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying like, hey, guess what? Somebody's going to call you a nigga to your face.
I think
some
the difference
are
is
not going to treat you right.
But I think the difference is we've all been raised to think corporate, and the times have changed. People can create their jobs. Thanks, the internet has blown up business so much now that you don't have to always think corporate. I have to always wear a suit and a tie, and I have to always be clean shaven and clean cut. You have to have a brilliant idea and a product and a service that is necessary, and you can create your entire business online. You might not ever see anybody face to face. We have to stop training our children that they have to enter into this workforce and be reliant on somebody else to sign their checks and save retirement and all that kind of stuff. We have to raise them to be more entrepreneurial.
The only thing I would challenge is that the HBCUs don't actually say you have to do it that way.
Okay.
They're mostly teaching bilingualness. So that so if you want to flip it up, you know it's safe. Like, hey, it's all right. You don't know, like, because this don't make sense to us either. But this is how it's done. And you know, I think a parallel argument that I've heard, and I agree with you in this, because I'm not sure that the parallel argument I'm going to give is actually an effective one that lends to our progress is that I've heard a black mom say, well, yeah, we got to spank our kids. We got to, because, you know, we got to be hard on them so they know, so that the man isn't hard on them, and so that we can keep them out of trouble, so they're not getting into trouble in the streets. And for me, it's like, actually, maybe you're just preparing them to receive some type of corporal punishment, you know, and instead of keeping them safe and preparing them. And similarly, with the HBCU argument, by teaching them, like, we've got to be more stringent and restrictive and teach them how to do things the way that the corporate man does it. Maybe you're just creating sheep and by passing that information along.
No, I feel you, because a lot of people have said that, you know, going to Morehouse and all, they're just like, these schools are too restrictive. And
it's Morehouse and Spelman specifically, although I don't see
Hampton is like that a little bit something.
I don't see some of the challenges. I don't see it necessarily coming from other HBCU grads as much as the two heavyweights. Mm-hmm. And I think the rules for those two. Huh?
And Howard, it's because the other HBCU grads just really don't matter.
Shots fired?
I'm not touching that one.
Leave that one alone, too.
That might be time to wrap up.
Yes.
I'm sitting there quiet.
Yes. Right.
Thank you for tuning in.
I like Morehouse
Men.
However,
run away,
this one
run
to
away.
The right.
I ain't managing. The real HU, baby.
Holla. Bam. They and know.
Look, on that note, thank you so much.
Check our endowment, fool.
I knew he was gonna come with that. The Ivy League grad can just not hold it in. He gotta let
right.
you know. He
but
got
they
to
ain't
let
claiming
you, know.
You, Malcolm. They ain't claiming you. No, baby, they ain't. If I say Hamptonian, they embrace me. You say Yale, they say really. Knock it off.
You know you go to that meeting all corporate as hell.
All right.
They made you cut off the
mic. Oh, you were
red-rounded.
You were the...
It's always the black folks.
Yeah. Right, you were the scholarship that year, right?
Oh, man. Thank you, y'all, for tuning in. Join us for the next Black History.
Just to make it next game. Brothers be gaming, ladies be claiming. I walk the street and camouflage my identity. My posse uptown wear the mask. My crew in the Queens wear the mask. I pick up kids with the Tommy Hill wear the mask.
Yeah, everybody wear the mask, but how long will it last? I thought he was the one done. I was stung on by his lips. Taking sips of an amaretto sour with a twist. Shook my hips to the baseline. This joker grabbed my waistline.